By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Habiballah. Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa sahbika ya Nurallah. MashaAllah, viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine, our early morning program. Viewers of Mother Channel, as you know, on Arise and Shine, we try to begin by giving you a blessing of reciting salutations through the Park upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, the blessing that we're going to give to you is a hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he is reported to have said that whoever recites salat upon me on the day of Friday, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. What greater reward can you possibly have that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for you on the day of judgment? On that day where your parents will no longer be seen, your children, your wife, your husband, nobody will be there to help for you. Nobody will share a single reward with you. Everybody will be worried about themselves. People will be drowning in their own sweat, in concern, in worry, in fear. And on that day, Allahu Akbar. Fortunate are those people who the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for. Allahu Akbar. And the condition, the way to achieve this, I'm not asking you to, you know, break rocks. Yeah, I'm not asking you to carry heavy loads up a mountain. I'm not asking you to run for hundreds of miles or walk for hundreds of miles or climb up Mount Everest. I'm asking you, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying to you that he who recites salutations upon me, he who recites Durood e Pak upon me, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. You know, if they say if there's a bargain, then, you know, people look for bargains, don't they? They're looking for the bargain of the week, the bargain of the year. This is the bargain of our lifetime. It's the greatest gift that we can have, that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will intercede for us on that day. So viewers of Mother Channel, joking apart, being serious, try and put some time to one side to recite Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It should be, it needs to be part of our daily routine. And if we do that, then inshallah azawajal will be successful, not only in this dunya, but in the afterlife as well. Viewers of Mother Channel, as you know, you're watching Arise and Shine, and one of the best ways of starting today is by listening to or reciting some verses of the Holy Quran. And as you know, when you watch Arise and Shine, we have this privilege. Yes, it's a privilege, and we have this honor, and it's an honor. We need to understand this, to be able to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. So let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran. Let's begin the program by listening to some verses of the Holy Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah ta'ala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
طاسین میم تلک آیات الکتاب المبین.
یہ آیتیں ہیں روشن کتاب کی.
لعلک باخع نفسک الا یکونوا مؤمنین.
کہیں تم اپنی جان پر کھیل جاؤ گے ان کے غم میں کہ وہ ایمان نہیں لائے.
ان نشأ ننزل علیہم من السماء آیة فظلت اعناقهم لها خاضعین.
اگر ہم چاہیں تو آسمان سے ان پر کوئی نشانی اتاریں کہ ان کے اونچے اونچے اس کے حضور جھکے رہ جائیں.
وما یأتیہم من ذکر من الرحمن محدث الا كانوا عنہ معرضین.
اور نہیں آتی ان کے پاس رحمان کی طرف سے کوئی نصیحت مگر اس سے منہ پھیر لیتے ہیں.
فقد كذبوا فسيأتيهم انباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون.
تو بے شک انہوں نے جھٹلایا تو اب ان پر آیا چاہتی ہیں خبریں ان کے ٹھٹھے یعنی مذاق کی.
اولم یروا الی الارض کم انبتنا فیها من کل زوج کریم.
کیا انہوں نے زمین کو نہ دیکھا ہم نے اس میں کتنے عزت والے جوڑے اگائے.
ان فی ذلک لآیہ وما كان اکثرهم مؤمنین.
بے شک اس میں ضرور نشانی ہے اور ان کے اکثر ایمان لانے والے نہیں.
وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ.
اور بے شک تمہارا رب ضرور وہی عزت والا مہربان ہے.
وَإِذْ نَادَى رَبُّكَ مُوسَىٰ أَنِ ائْتِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ قَوْمَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَلَا يَتَّقُونَ.
اور یاد کرو جب تمہارے رب نے موسیٰ کو ندا فرمائی کہ ظالم لوگوں کے پاس جا جو فرعون کی قوم ہے کیا وہ نہ ڈریں گے.
قال رب انی اخاف ان یکذبون ویضیق صدری ولا ینطلق لسانی فارسل الی هارون.
عرض کی اے میرے رب میں ڈرتا ہوں کہ وہ مجھے جھٹلائیں گے اور میرا سینہ تنگی کرتا ہے اور میری زبان نہیں چلتی تو ہارون کو بھی رسول کر.
وَلَهُمْ عَلَيَّ ذَنبٌ فَأَخَافُ أَن يَقْتُلُونَ.
اور ان کا مجھ پر ایک الزام ہے تو میں ڈرتا ہوں کہیں مجھے قتل کر دیں.
قَالَ كَلَّا فَاذْهَبَا بِآيَاتِنَا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ مُسْتَمِعُونَ.
فرمایا یوں نہیں تم دونوں میری آیتیں لے کر جاؤ ہم تمہارے ساتھ سنتے ہیں.
فَأْتِيَا فِرْعَوْنَ فَقُولَا إِنَّا رَسُولُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ أَنْ أَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ.
تو فرعون کے پاس جاؤ پھر اس سے کہو ہم دونوں اس کے رسول ہیں جو رب ہے سارے جہان کا کہ تو ہمارے ساتھ بنی اسرائیل کو چھوڑ دے.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. اللہ, I don't know about you but I find that very relaxing listening to the verses of the Quran, and today we will listen to Surah Shu'ara, the first 17 ayats of the Quran. And I found it very relaxing, just, you know, almost switching off, forgetting about what is happening around us, not being concerned about all the problems that we face on a day-to-day. The Quran is, you know, a cure, is a solution to all of our problems. The Quran is that book that is in every house. It's on the top shelf in possibly every Muslim house around the world. But the real question is do we take guidance from it? Do we read from it? Do we benefit from it? Amir al-Sunnat in his Pious Deed booklet, he advises us to read at least 3 verses of the Quran every day with translation and commentary. We listened to that now and that was 17 verses. Yes, albeit they were short verses, but 17 verses with translation. We didn't have the commentary there, but 17 verses. How long did it take for them 17 verses? I think we started 6 minutes, 5 minutes if that. And can we not find 5 minutes in a day? Now, a lot of people will say that, oh, the problem is, you know, to read the Quran, you need to be in a state of wuzu, so you need to go and perform wuzu. You know, but that needs to be part of your routine anyway. You need to try and make a habit of being in the state of wudu all the time. Whenever you go to the toilet, what do? You wash your hands. Hey, you wash your hands. How much longer would it take you to perform wuzu as well? So again, what we need to do, viewers of the channel, is we need to try and stay in a state of wuzu all the time. I know it's not easy, you're traveling, whatever. But whenever it's feasible, whenever you go to the washroom, whenever you go there, and you go there, then perform wuzu at the same time. How long does it take to perform wuzu? And again, you know, there are many, many, this is a complete separate topic, and inshallah one day we'll discuss that. But the medical benefits, the physical benefits, the spiritual benefits of performing wuzu are there as well. And so if we, you know, every morning when you go to the bathroom, you know, you wash yourself, you brush your teeth, you wash your face, you know, how much more, you know, do you need, how much more time do you need to perform the rest of the wuzu, the masa and the feet and everything? It doesn't take much longer. And inshallah, you feel good that I'm leaving home in a state of wuzu. You know, if only we could all leave home in a state of wuzu. So then if we are in a state of wuzu all the time, and we try to be, then it's very easy to pick up a book, any book, and read it for 5 minutes. And if you are in a state of wuzu, pick up the Quran and read it for 5 minutes. Or if not, you know, the apps, alhamdulillah, I think yesterday we saw an app that was being advertised on Mother Channel during this program, I think, and it was about Ruhani Ilaj, spiritual cures. There's apps for Akunzul Iman, there's an app for Siratul Jinan that you can download and listen to the translation and the commentary, you know. And for that, you don't have to be in a state of wuzu to listen to it. So you can be traveling, you can put your ear piece in and just listen to it as you're traveling. How much effort is that? You know, again, we're talking about things that are so easy to do and so much beneficial to us that, you know, if it was related to the dunya, then we would be, you know, thinking, you know, why is the whole world not jumping on this bandwagon, so to speak? That if I was to say to you that, look, just by sitting there, by closing your eyes and listening to something, yeah, whilst you're driving, whilst you are resting, that you can make £20 an hour just by closing your eyes and listening to something and not putting in any effort, yeah, only listening to it. Everybody would say, well, why is not everybody doing it? Everybody should be doing it. You know, the people are mad if they're not doing it. It's so easy, so much reward. You can make so much money out of it. Why are you not doing it? But when it comes to the blessings of listening to the Quran, you know, at the moment I'm talking about reading's even better, but even just listening to the Quran, closing your eyes and listening to the Quran, and just for doing that, you're getting the pleasure of Allah, you're getting the comfort of the soul, comfort of the mind, and you're getting the reward as well. So viewers of the channel, please make a habit of putting some time aside to listen to the Holy Quran. If nothing else, yeah, if you can't do anything else, watch Rise and Shine every morning, inshallah, azza wa jalla. And we're going through the Quran in order, and we've got to this surah at the moment. Listen to Rise and Shine every moment, and at least during that period of time, you listen to the ayahs of the Quran, and you listen to the translation as well. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And again, I've got sidetracked time now. I've got this bad habit of being sidetracked. Please forgive me. And today, I'm not going to introduce the topic. I'll introduce the topic after the next segment. And as you all know, those people who watch Arise and Shine, the next segment is the Kalam of the day. So let's see what Kalam we're going to listen to today. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulallah.
بناتے ہیں میں بھی آؤں جتنے غریب ہو پھر بھی غلام آپ کے، جتنے غریب ہو پھر بھی غلام آتے گے جاتے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Talked about those people that had the fortunate ability to travel to Medina. It talked about those people that had the fortunate treasure in the hearts of the love of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم. That is something that we all need to develop inside ourselves. And again, that can only be developed if we know something about this great personality, if we know about the life of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وسلم, and we read about him, and we read the seerah, and we realize the things that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for the ummah, the sacrifices that he made, the love for the ummah, the guidance that he gave to the ummah, the way he lived his life, the simplicity of his life, the guidance that he gave down and that has passed down from generation to generation so that we've all benefit from. So I think it's very important, it's part of our iman to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these kalams, these naats are there for that reason, to instill that inside us. You know, I was there, I was during that, I was had my eyes closed and I was listening and listening to the words. And those of you that may know me know that my Urdu is not brilliant. And so, you know, 90% of the Urdu I picked up, the rest maybe I didn't. But, you know, in just listening to what you do understand, you pick up that love that we need to develop, that thought pattern that we need to develop inside ourselves. Read about the pious predecessors, that they loved everything that was attributed to the Prophet. So anything that had an association with the Prophet is also to be loved. The companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Ahle Bayt, the Sayyids, the city of Medina, anything that's associated with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is something to be loved. And we hear about our pious predecessors that when they went to the city of Medina, they would not, you know, walk in the city barefoot. They would never travel on a horse inside the city. Some of them would never go to the toilet. They would never defecate inside the city of Medina. They would go to the outside boundaries. You know, we hear about those people that used to do construction inside the city of Medina. When it came to cutting tiles, they would go outside the city and cut the tiles. You know, this is the love and respect and honor of things that are attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When people go into the Masjid al-Nabawi, they will not raise their voice there because that is the resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all this is love
All this is respect, all this is honor, and this makes us realize that, you know, we need to develop that inside ourselves. It's not enough to say that I love. It's not enough to say that I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not enough to just go on a jalous once a year. It's not enough to just go to a flu mehfil in Manaz. It's not enough to stay up and go to a naat mehfil and stay up all night. No, loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is part of our iman. And loving the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, all of your life. And you need to live like it. And like I said at the beginning, when I said that the Quran and my way, the way, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we need to adopt the sunnah as much as possible we can. Learn what the sunnah is. And there are many things in our life that are the sunnah, that we're doing them, but we don't even realize that they're the sunnah. As simple as drinking with your right hand, eating with your right hand, you already do it, but do you know that it's a sunnah? Slight change in how you're sleeping, you'll be sleeping according to the sunnah. And you do it, inshallah, you'll get the reward, and that'll develop that love in it, that I'm doing it. Why am I doing it? Why am I doing it like this? Because my Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it like this. And it developed that encouragement inside you to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to follow him and adopt the sunnah. So please, I know it's, I haven't even introduced the topic yet, we've gone halfway through the program, that, you know, we need to learn more about our greatest role model. We need to learn more about him. You know, because when you're in that dark and lonely grave and the questions are posed to you, and the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters that dark and lonely grave, and you will be asked, what did you say about this person? Will we even recognize him? And the scary question is, will he recognize us as an ummati? Allah Akbar. And that depends on how we live our lives. So viewers on the channel, please, I know I've been sidetracked once again. You've probably got the topic at the top of the screen. You can see what the topic is, and you're thinking to yourself, well, he's not talked about that at all yet. But I just felt that, you know, because of the kalam, it brings that. And that's what the kalams do. That's what these nas do. They build that inside us. So I think we need to listen to them. We need to get our children to listen to them and try and translate them to them, explain to them that this is what this person is saying. Yeah. And if you know, especially when you know about certain kalams that were written by lovers, yeah, then give example of their love. You know, do you know that this kalam was written about from that person? And this person he used to do, this person used to live his life like this. This was his piety. These are the things that if we learn about these, then we can pass them on to our children, and that will develop the love inside themselves. Allah. Viewers of the channel, as you know, you're watching Rise and Shine. What the topic is, it is the rights of our neighbors. Again, something very, very important in Islam, the rights of our neighbors. Islam is such a beautiful religion that it gives us guidelines for every single aspect of our life. I'm going to give you a parable, an event that took place with regards to Hatim Ta'i. Sayyidina Milhan Ta'i, Rahmatullah, has narrated that he was talking about the event of the generosity of Hatim Ta'i, and his wife said, once famine struck the whole country. Land did not produce anything, and nor did rain fall throughout the whole year. Camels would roam in search of water the whole day, but would not get a single drop of water. Every living being was hungry and thirsty. One night it was very cold, and we did not have a single morsel to eat. Our children, Abdullah, Adi, and one daughter, Safina, were very hungry. Ultimately, feeling tired, two children fell asleep. We put them on a mat and started diverting the third one's attention, and he also fell asleep. Hatim Ta'i said, I don't know why I'm unable to sleep today. He then started walking to and fro. Suddenly he heard the footfalls of someone outside. In a loud voice, Hatim Ta'i said, who is it? But no one replied. I went outside, saw the situation, and then came back and told Hatim Ta'i. She said to her husband, outside is so-and-so neighbor of yours. She didn't find anyone but you in this hard time to seek refuge. She has come to you with her starving children. They are weeping and crying with hunger as the babies of animals do. Having heard this, Hatim Ta'i said to her, hurry up and bring her to me. I said, our own children are starving. We have nothing to give them, so how can we help the poor female neighbor and her children? Hatim Ta'i said, keep quiet. Allah will definitely fill the stomach of you and all of them. Hurry up. Go and bring in the sad mother immediately. So immediately she brought her in. The poor woman was crying. She was carrying two children in her lap, and four were clung to her and were following her. Hatim Ta'i asked them to sit in the room and set the fire after slaughtering his nice animal. When the flame started leaping, he took a knife and started skinning the animal. Passing the knife to the woman, he said, eat and also feed your children. And then The husband said to his wife, you also eat and wake up our children so that they can also satisfy the hunger. Our female neighbor, she was eating bit by bit. And so sensing her sensation, her hesitation, Hatim said to her, how awful is it that being our guest, you are eating bit by bit? Having said this, he started walking to and fro. She started eating to her fill. We were all busy eating and Hatim Thai was looking towards us. We were satiated, but Hatim Thai did not even eat a single piece of meat. Though he was hungry as well. And in the morning, there was nothing left on the floor except bones and hooves. Views of Mother Channel, this parable contains many motherly pearls of advice for us. For example, people in the past, they had great sympathy and feeling for their neighbors. For example, people in the past, you know, would help them. Hatim Thai, who was considered to be very famous for his generosity in the era of ignorance, was especially very kind to his neighbors. He was a great Welsh fisher and helper of his needy neighbors. If we look at ourselves today, how are we with our neighbors? Do we even know who our neighbors are? Do I know our neighbors' names? Do we know how they live their lives? Do we know what problems they are facing? Do we know how many people are living in the house next door? Allahu Akbar. And unfortunately, we're not aware of them situations. I don't know, maybe our walls have become higher. You know, our situations have changed. Things have changed. I know without a doubt things have changed. I remember being a child and we knew all our neighbors. And, you know, we moved from a street to a road. And when we moved to the road, we didn't seem to know our neighbors. And we thought maybe it's because it's a big road and maybe because of that and people don't interact with each other as much. But I realized that over the years, when I talk to other people that still live on streets or when I move to a street, it's the same thing. People really don't know what is happening in those streets. They don't know what is happening to the neighbors. They don't know what problems they are facing. And not only that, our neighbors will not come to us with their problems because they know we're not concerned about it. You know, you see here, this woman, she came to Hatim Thai. She came to him and pleaded with her problem. You know, nowadays, one, we don't know the problems of our neighbors. Two, our neighbors will not come to us with their problems because they know it's not my problem, it's your problem. Get on with it. That'll be our attitude. And obviously that person will go back disgraced. Well, there's nothing I can do about it. They go and solve your problem, my own problems. You know, and this would be our answer. I've got my own problems. But Hatim Thai could have also said that. I've got my own problems. I've got a wife and children that I've had to put to sleep. They're starving. You know, and that's what I did. But now because a guest arrived, one of the few animals that he must have had, the nice animal that he had, he sacrificed it, cooked it, and fed her, and still didn't eat himself. Remember, he was hungry as well. So for the sake of the neighbors, the generosity of the neighbors, you know, he put them, obviously as a result of that, his wife and his children benefited. But that mindset of looking out for your parents, that mindset of being able to go to your parents, that's the other thing, it's the flip side, isn't it? The fact that, you know, he had that generosity, had that concern of his parents, but also that the neighbors could come to him as well. His nature narrated views on the channel that Sayyidina Abdullah bin Rajai has stated that in Kufa, a cobbler used to live in the neighborhood of Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And this cobbler, he used to take fish or meat of any other animal at night and after working the whole day, and then he used to eat it after roasting. Afterwards, he used to drink alcohol, and then being intoxicated, he used to make a lot of noise. And he would continue the rest of the night until he eventually fell asleep. Now, the great spiritual leader of millions of Hanfis, Sayyidina Imam Azam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala, used to live in that neighborhood. And he used to get disturbed a lot by this noise. Obviously, if a person's been drunk and he's singing or whatever he's doing, he's making loud noise, then Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he used to get disturbed by this noise. One night, what happened was, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he didn't hear this noise. Thanks. No noise tonight, I can get some sleep. But no, that's not what Imam Abu Hanifa did. Instead of being thankful, you know, that this person has not made a noise today, instead of being thankful that, you know, I've had a peaceful night, instead of being thankful that he's gone or whatever's happened to him, yeah, he was concerned. What's happened to him? So what happened was he got up in the morning and he inquired about his neighbor and he was told that he'd been arrested by a policeman the previous night and he is in prison. So Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, he offered the Fajr Salah and then he reached the Khalifa and asked someone to inform the Khalifa of his arrival. The Khalifa ordered his soldiers to bring him to the royal floor after holding the rein of his horse without dismounting, with great respect and reverence. The soldiers did the same. The Khalifa humbly asked, "What can I do for you? O great Imam, you've come to my court, what can I do for you?" And he said that one of my neighbors, who is a cobbler, was arrested by your soldiers last night. I'm asking you to issue an order to release him. Issue an order to release him. Not issue an order to keep him there as long as possible, yeah? Because for shukra, I got one night's good sleep last night. I got one night's good sleep, yeah? Keep him there as long as possible so that I can have plenty of sleep. I can catch up on my sleep. I can get some rest. Instead, what did he do? He said, "I'm asking you to release this person." Now, the Khalifa issued the order to release the cobbler immediately and to release all the prisoners who were arrested that day. Therefore, all of them were released. Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah ta'ala, he mounted his horse and left. Now, the neighbor started following him. And so Sayyidina Imam Abu Hanifa said to him, "Oh, young man, did I cause any trouble for you?" You know, he's got him released now, and he's asking him, "Did I cause any trouble for you?" He only replied, "No, but rather you have helped me, and you have made intercession on my behalf. May Allah Azza wa Jal bestow reward upon you for this act, because you have taken care of the respect of your neighbor, and you have fulfilled his right." Therefore, the prisoner, he repented at the hands of Imam Abu Hanifa. You know, you look at that event, and, you know, throughout that event, you know, how would we have reacted at each stage? One, when a person's keeping us up all night, would we have shown patience? Would we have gone around and knocked his door down and said, "Come on, let me get some sleep, you know, I've got to get up in the morning"? Two, when you don't hear the sign for one night, thankful. You know, but no, again, Imam Abu Hanifa reacted differently. He wanted to find out what had happened. Yeah. So he went in the morning. As he was going to the masjid, he found out that this person was arrested. And he went and read his fajr. Now, what could he have done? He could have done, "You know what? I've got things to do this morning. Yeah, I'm busy." Because obviously he was a very busy person. "I'm busy this morning. What I'll do is I'll go after Zuhr. I'll go after Asr. I'll go later on. Yeah. Or, you know, what difference is it if I go tomorrow? I can take a little bit longer. It doesn't make any difference." But no, he didn't do that. What did he do? He straight away, after reading Salatul Fajr, he went to the Khalifa of the time, asked him if he could meet him, requested him that, "Can you release this cobbler?" Again, what would we have done? We wouldn't have done this. Yeah. Requested him to release him, then didn't wait for any of his thanks, got on his horse and went back. And the cobbler followed him and said, you know, and again, when the cobbler followed him and got close to him, what did Imam Abu Hanifa say to him? He said, "Have I caused any problems for you? Are you okay?" And he said, "No, you've not caused any problems. You've interceded for me. You've held up the rights of a neighbor." And he repented from his ways. So how we react with everybody doesn't just affect that one person. Today we're talking about our neighbors. How we react with our neighbors doesn't affect just our neighbor. It'll affect the people in that household. It'll affect the whole people that they're related to. And it might even affect generation after generation. Now, we are living in the West. What image do we give to our neighbors as Muslims? You know, this hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person passes away, if people speak good about that person, then heaven is wajib for that person. And in another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if people speak bad about a person, then hell is wajib upon that person. Now, if we are to attain paradise, it is through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, without doubt. And if Allah wills, Allah can make us enter paradise without accountability for a simple act. But a question I want to ask you is, what do your neighbors, what do our neighbors think about us? Now, even if they are Muslim or non-Muslim, what do our neighbors think about us? Ask yourself that question. Have you ever thought about it? I remember one person, he moved into a new house. And when he moved into this new house, he knew that on moving in, he was going to do some construction work. He was going to rebuild the kitchen. He was going to put a loft in. He was going to do all sorts of work in there. And he knew, obviously, sound would be made. When you got builders in, it makes a lot of noise. So first and foremost, he got two big boxes of chocolates and went, knocked on the house to the left and went and knocked on the house to the right and introduced himself and then said to them, "Look, you know, I'm your neighbor. And if there's anything you need, please let me know. However, over the next 4 to 6 weeks, there may be a lot of noise, a lot of banging. And please forgive me in advance. And I just want to give you this box of chocolates to thank you in advance for your patience." And he said that one of his neighbors, they were that old, they couldn't hear anything anyway. But the thought is there. Yeah? The thought is that when we are, you know, making a load of noise in our house because we're doing some building work, do we go and see to our, say to our neighbors and say, look, you know, I'm apologizing in advance. This is going to be the situation. And maybe they might discuss it with you and say, yeah, okay, jazakallah, but you know, I've got a baby and I tried to put my baby to sleep between this time and this time. Is it possible? And, you know, listen to their requests. But do we even do that? You know, we don't. We think, well, it's my house. I can do what I want. I can make whatever noise I want. Who are there to stop me? What can they do about it? Yeah? The law says that I can make as much noise as I can. Yeah, there is a law in this country that you can make as much noise as you can between this time and this time. I can do whatever I want. Yeah? What's wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong legally. Yeah? But what about ikhlaqi? What about the character? What about your respect of a Muslim? You know, respect of your neighbor, the rights that they have over you. And inshallah, we'll talk about them rights a little bit later on. But these are the things that we also need to be concerned about, and we're not. And so it is our duty, viewers of the channel, inshallah, we're going to have a small break, but now after the break, we'll talk about the rights of our neighbors, that they have a right over us, that we need to look out for them. One incident I want to share with you before we go to the break. And I was going to share it a little bit later on, but what happens is sometimes I get towards the end of the program and I've not covered everything I wanted to say to you, so I better share with you now. Alhamdulillah, here in Bradford, Dawat Islami has a funeral service. And this funeral service is completely free of charge. We will pick up the body from the home, the hospital, the mortuary, whatever it is. We will come, our ambulances are completely free of charge. We'll shroud the body, we'll bury the body. Everything was completely free of charge. And the only charge, obviously, is the charge that you have to make to the council for the plot of land for the grave. Everything else is covered. And I remember last year, I think it was probably this time last year, that they informed me that the council requested them to pick up a body of somebody that had died in their home 3 or 4 months ago and nobody had even realized. So the body had been decomposing for that amount of time. And the brother said to me that when the brothers obviously performed the ghusl, then you can understand what the state of the body was. So it was a great service, mashallah, that Dawat Islami is providing here and in many other places around the UK and around the world as well. But how did that happen? That a Muslim can die in his house and nobody know about it for 3 to 4 months. And that is something that we need to ponder about. If it happened then, and this is last year, it can happen now. If it can happen now, can it happen to us? If it can happen to us, can it happen to our neighbors? These are questions that we all need to ask ourselves. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, and I think we'll take a break on that, and I will ponder over that, and you will ponder over that. But let's see what the reminder of the day is today. Inshallah, we can learn something from it. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Dear viewers of Madani Channel, let us listen to two narrations in relation to the love that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his blessed grandsons, Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. There is one beautiful narration mentioned in Sunan al-Tirmidhi where on one occasion Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiyallahu anhu once climbed onto the blessed shoulders of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A man said, "What a good ride you have, O boy." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, "And how excellent a rider he is." Subhanallah. My dear viewers, publicly showing the honor, the love that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his noble grandson, Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. We also learn a lesson from this, that as father figures, as elder siblings, and if we are grandparents, we should also show love and affection to our children, to our grandchildren as well. The second narration, that whilst in sajda, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam felt Imam Hassan on his blessed back. He lengthened his sajda, his prostration, so that Imam Hassan would not fall when he raised his blessed head. Subhanallah. My dear viewers, let us reflect over the status of Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam adjusted his salah out of gentleness for Imam Hassan, showing immense mercy and affection towards him. Subhanallah. We also learn, my dear viewers, how as Muslims, we should be with the younger generation. We should increase the mutual love that we have for one another. We should try and instill the love that our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed to his grandchildren. We should also have a reflection in our life as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow in the way of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before the break, and on the topic today, we're talking about the rights of our neighbors. And before the break, I put that thought to you of an event that took place where somebody had passed away and nobody was aware for 3 to 4 months. And, you know, this is not a story of the past. It's not a story of a different country. It's not a story of 100 years ago. It's a story of today, literally 12 months ago, if not less, here in the city of Bradford, where it happened. And if it can happen 12 months ago, it can happen today. If it can happen in the city of Bradford, it can happen anywhere, wherever you are watching this program. And so the question is how did that happen? You know, I don't know the details. I don't know what happened there. But that's something that we need to ponder over and have an understanding of why that happened, or try to understand why that happened, and ponder over our relationship with our parents, with our neighbors. Now, I know sometimes what happens is, you know, you do have people who are bad neighbors, you know, like the example we had with Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala, that his neighbor was a drunkard and he was making sound. And it happens. You get people who, you know, are maybe even racist, people that don't like you, people that abuse you. You know, I have instances of people where I've known that, you know, the neighbors have thrown soiled nappies over into the gardens and soiled nappies over into the yards and caused all sorts of trouble. And this happens, you know. But how, as a Muslim, should we react? And without a doubt, the Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah has given us the example that we act with patience. That is how we should act. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the people Allah loves also include one whose bad neighbor hurts him and he remains patient upon the act of his hurting until Allah Azza wa Jal saves him from his neighbor's infliction through his life or through his death. That if Allah loves that person, amongst the people that Allah loves is that person that shows patience upon the act of him hurting or being hurt by his neighbor, of the person who's suffering an infliction by his neighbor. And Allah loves that person who stays in that situation until either that infliction is removed or until that person passes away. Either the person that's been inflicted passes away or that infliction is removed. Allah loves that person. So, you know, this is what our deen teaches us. Our deen doesn't teach us to go around and pick up a brick and smash his window, yeah? Knock his door down. Our deen doesn't teach us to go out and slit his tires. Our deen doesn't teach him to go out and smash his car and cause all sorts of trouble. Our deen doesn't teach him this, yeah? I remember once, in the street where I lived, there was one of the streets that I lived, there was some flats next door. And there was someone that had been drinking alcohol. And as I was coming out of the house, he opened his window and he started swearing at me and all sorts of things, yeah? And the family with me, and I thought, look, quickly get in the car. Just get in the car. Don't listen to him. And as I got in the car, he came out the front door and he's in the street and he's screaming and shouting and he's raging and everything. Come on, yeah? And so I drove off. I didn't, and we went, I don't know where we went, 2 or 3 hours we went, and I went, came back, and, you know, I'm at home, and I get a knock on the door, and I've got one of them little, you know, eyepieces, a lot of people have them in their home. I looked through the eyepiece, and it's him, and I thought, oh, no. I thought, you know, I better open the door. I opened the door, and he's looking down, and said, you know, I'm really, really sorry, you know. I'm really, really, really sorry, you know. I was drunk, I apologize, and, you know, please forgive me, I shouldn't have done that. It's just, I don't know, it was the alcohol talking to me, blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself that, you know, when he was abusing me, I'll be honest with you, I was getting angry. Yeah? I was getting angry and I felt like stopping the car and getting out and having a word with him. But I remained calm as much as possible, even though I felt it building up inside me. Because obviously when someone's abusing you and your family, you feel it. But if I got out and reacted, what would have happened? Now, at least that person's going to be, yeah, okay, it's unlike the people of the past. I'm not pious enough that by forgiving someone, they will accept Islam. But unlike, you know, if I had abused him, at least he's going away with the right message, hasn't he? He's going away with the right message that this person, I abused him, he's a Muslim, you know, and I caused him all sorts of trouble, he didn't react. So he's going away with that message. And as Muslims, we need to give that message to people.
We need to give the right message to people of who we are, how we react to these situations. You know, and that's why our deen teaches us to control our anger, to be patient in the face of affliction, to respect our neighbors, to respect our relatives, to respect our distant relatives, our parents, obviously, the rights of our children. All of these things are laid down for us as guidelines. Why? To give that perfect example to when people see us. You know, if you look at, I mean, I know it's going against the topic again, but if you look at how people accept Islam, in the majority of people do not accept Islam by studying Islam. The majority of people do not accept Islam by reading the Quran. The majority of people do not accept Islam by studying the Quran and comparing it to science or comparing it to other books. The majority of people that accept Islam by looking at you. By looking at you. How you react, how you live your life. And I can give you hundreds, maybe thousands of stories of where people have accepted Islam by looking at the person in front of them. But I can only possibly give you a few of where a person, you know, as a coincidence, he opened the Quran, started reading, and the words of the Quran affected him. Yes, it does, without doubt. But not many people will pick up a book and read it. It's not something you do every day. But people interact with people on a day-to-day basis. People meet their neighbors on a day-to-day basis. People go to work and meet people on a day-to-day basis. People go shopping and buy stuff or sell stuff with people on a day-to-day basis. This is what happens on a daily basis. On a daily basis, Muslims don't read the Quran. Yeah, we mentioned it being Muslims don't read the Quran. So how what expectation do we have of them picking up the Quran and reading it? But on a day-to-day basis, they'll meet you. Each and every one of you that's watching this program today, and each and every one of you, the people that watch this program in the future, we are all ambassadors of Islam. An ambassador is someone that represents something, and we all represent Islam. You are all representatives, that you are all ambassadors of Islam. How you live Islam is how people think Islam is. If all they see is that Muslims are drug dealers, then they think that's what Islam is. Islam is promoting drug dealing. That's all they'll think. But if they see Muslims as kind, gentle, pious, respectful people, then this is what they think about Muslims. That these people, they are kind, gentle, respectful people, because that's the interaction that they've had. So every one of you is an ambassador. I mentioned it before that I used to work in an office, and the office culture was where they used to go to the pub every Friday for a drink. And I would refuse. I said, no, it's against my religion to go to the pub and drink alcohol. And they would give me names of Muslims. I said, well, he comes, and they would mention their names, and I don't want to mention the names. You know, and they would mention the names of those people that would go to the pub. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that them people that went there, not only have they committed the sin of drinking alcohol, but also they've given an image that this is what Muslims do. So each and every one of you is an ambassador of our deen. Each and every one of you represents our deen. And in each walk of our life, in each step of our life, you need to be aware of this. You know, we talk within the environment of Dawud Islami that this person has this responsibility, this person has this responsibility, he is this nagran, he is this department manager, he is this. Each and every one of you has a greater responsibility. You know, the people that are watching this program have a greater responsibility than the people who are running Dawat Islami within the UK or running Dawat Islami around the world. Your responsibility, of each and every one of you, has a great responsibility, and that is representing Islam. Representing Islam in the right manner. Each and every one of you is a salesman of the deen. Each and every one of you is a salesman, yes. And you know what? When a person tries to sell something, what does he do?
You want to buy a cup? Okay, if you want to buy it, don't buy it. If you want to, I don't care.
No, it doesn't work like that.
Brother, you know, mashallah, this beautiful cup. You see the cup, and it's nice, it's gentle, he's sweet, and he talks, he's respectful, and you know, he gets close to you, encourages you, and all of a sudden you start listening, you're thinking, I didn't even want to buy a cup, but I've come away with buying a cup. Yeah. I wish that day comes where people weren't even looking for religion, looking for something, but just by meeting you, just by looking at you, just by talking to you, just by sitting with you, just by traveling with you, yeah, they accept Islam. And that is possible, it's not impossible. You know, I'm not saying to you something, oh, this is, you know, he's talking about things that happen. It happens today. Islam, we all agree. Nobody will disagree with me on this. Islam is perfect. Islam is haq. Islam is the truth. Here's the problem. I'm the problem, not Islam. I'm the problem. Why? Because I'm not selling. I'm not the correct salesman. I'm not presenting Islam in the right way that it should be presented. And that's where the problem is, viewers of the channel. So I think we need to think about this, that how we contemplate, how we react, how we interact with not only the people that we meet on a daily basis, but our parents, our children, our neighbors, our work colleagues, everybody. We need to ponder all this. Viewers of the channel, once again, I've got this bad habit. I'm going to, please forgive me. I go off on tangents. I go here, there, and everywhere. We're going to take a small break now, and I think we might have a guest with us, inshallah, as we do after the break. Let's go to the hadith of the day, and then let's see what happens after that. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Now regarding the honorable companions, radwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has explained, do not speak ill of my companions. Because if any of you were to give charity the amount of gold equivalent to the whole of Mount Uhud, it would not be equivalent to a single mud or half a mud given by any of them. Now what's the explanation of this hadith? Is that if a companion gave a small amount of barley in charity, whilst a ghouth, qutb, or any ordinary Muslim gave a mountain's worth of gold, the latter were not near the level of acceptance and closeness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same is true regarding fasting, salah, and all other acts of worship. When salah in Masjid al-Nabawi is equivalent to 50,000 offered salah elsewhere, what words could adequately explain the rank of the companions who physically saw the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spent time in his company? What can be said of the amazing acts of worship? Now the rank of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions is really, really high. This hadith also teaches us to mention the honorable companions with nothing but good. They are never to be spoken about with belittling or disrespectful terms, not even in the slightest. These are specific individuals Allah chose to accompany His beloved. Now imagine this, just as an example, when a merciful father does not let his son stay in the company of bad people, then how could our merciful Lord, Azza wa Jal, like for His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to stay in such company? The companions' superiority is founded on the fact that they accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and lived in the era of divine revelation. If anyone from our lives for 1,000 years tries to spend his entire time obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and refraining from disobedience, such that we become the greatest worshipper of our era, even then, dear viewers of Madri Channel, even then, all of this worship will not match a single moment spent in the companionship of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The lesson that we learn here is that whenever we speak about the companions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, always with respect, never use disrespectful terms. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah. By the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah. Viewers of Madri Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. Today, we're talking about the rights of our neighbors. And so far, we've covered various aspects of how we should be with our neighbors. And we've mentioned a few incidents of people of the past. We mentioned a few hadiths of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, I'm blessed with a beautiful guest all the way from South Africa, alhamdulillah. We have online, mashallah, Abdullah Madani. I don't believe I've actually spoken to Abdullah Madani before. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Haji Saab?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Abdullah Bhai, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I am well.
MashaAllah, MashaAllah. I'm now blessed with seeing your picture on the screen, MashaAllah. I do recognize you now, MashaAllah. Actually, Abdullah Bhai, we're talking about the rights of our neighbors. And, you know, we mentioned earlier on that, alhamdulillah, Islam is a beautiful religion, that it teaches the rights of every single person that we interact with. You know, obviously our parents, our children, our neighbors, our work colleagues, the buying, selling, you know, fellow students, teachers, every aspect of our life, our deen gives us the guidelines. And, you know, I think if you could just share some Madani pearls, if possible, with regards to, you know, the rights of our neighbors in today's society specifically. And I'm hoping that people can benefit from that.
Alhamdulillah, Haji Saab, a very unique and important topic you touched today. Alhamdulillah, the religion of Islam is a very unique and beautiful religion. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, he brought this religion of Islam And he also mentioned that Bu'ithtu Mu'alliman, I have been sent as a teacher. And alhamdulillah, there is nothing which I feel, and undoubtedly there is nothing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not taught us. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world physically, everything he taught us, he gave us the etiquettes, he gave us the ways, the manners of doing the various different actions, and then he left this world physically. regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, regarding Jannat, Jahannam, that knowledge, alhamdulillah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us. But there are many small things which people think or feel that, you know, maybe we don't need a teacher for this, or we don't need anyone to teach this to us. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us those things as well. And he showed us the importance of knowing how to do these specific actions. For example, eating, drinking, sleeping. A common man like me and you would think that, you know, I don't need anyone to teach me how to eat, to teach me how to drink. But if we look at the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate, the way he drank, the way he slept, and then we look at ourselves and we say, yes, we really do need someone to teach us how to do these small things. Allahu Akbar. And amongst those many things which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, one beautiful aspect and one beautiful thing which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched was the rights of neighbors. And I feel personally that this is, maybe it will feel or it will seem as something very small to someone. But you know how vast this rights of neighbors is? Let me explain to you with one example. You know, if they say in English that think globally, but plan locally. All right. And likewise, they say charity begins at home.
Yes.
So if you want to rectify the entire world, you're not going to book a ticket now and fly to maybe the different end of the world and then go and spread Islam there or go and rectify people there. No. If you want to rectify the entire world, you have to first rectify your own country. If you want to rectify your country, you need to rectify your province. You want to rectify your province, you need to rectify your community, your area. And if you want to rectify your area, you need to start with your house first. Likewise, with spreading Islam, you're going to go around the world and say, I want to go there and spread Islam, whereas your house is living in Kufr or your area is in Kufr. No. In order to spread Islam around the world, you need to go and spread Islam around the country. In order for that, you need to spend around your province, your area. And in order for you to spread Islam around your area, you need to come and spread Islam in your house first. And after you spread Islam in your house, then the people who are going to see you, the people who are going to observe you first, is not the people who are sitting in Australia or the people in New Zealand or somewhere. It's the people who are next to you, your neighbors. They are the ones who are going to look at you. They are the ones who are going to observe you. They're going to see your method of eating, drinking, walking, and all of these kind of things. And then they will get impressed with you, and that can be a means of them accepting Islam. So this words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, you know, take care of your neighbors, look after your neighbors, take care of their rights, whatever it is, many, many beautiful ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It might be just one sentence that look after your neighbor. But if you have to think globally, that one neighbor can be a means of him, that being good to that one neighbor can be a means of him accepting Islam. And maybe that can then develop into the entire area accepting Islam, then the entire city, the entire country, and then globally, inshallah. And nobody should think that I am saying this from my own side. A very beautiful incident comes to mind where Hazrat Sayyidina Bayazid Bustami, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he had a non-Muslim neighbor. And that non-Muslim neighbor of his went on a journey and he left his wife and children behind at home. So the child of this non-Muslim neighbor used to cry at night. So Hazrat Bayazid Bustami asked that, asked the wife that, why does this child cry at night? So she replied that there is no lamp at our house. We don't have any chiragh, we don't have a lamp. And this child is afraid of darkness. So whenever it's dark, night comes, it becomes dark, he starts crying. So from that day, Hazrat Bayazid Bustami made it a duty upon himself that he used to fill the lamp with oil. And after, you know, he lights the oil, he would then send it to the house of the non-Muslim neighbor. And This he would do frequently until the husband came back from his journey. So when the husband came back and his wife told him the entire incident, you know, our son used to cry, our child used to cry because of the darkness, but our neighbor, Bayazid, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he then sent these lamps to us, and every day he does it so the child shouldn't cry at night. So that non-Muslim husband, he made a sentence, a very historical sentence. And he said, the house in which the lamp of Bayazid entered, why should there be darkness in that house?
Allah,
if the lamp
Allah.
Of Bayazid came in this house, then the light of Islam should also come. And after saying Allah, this, the whole Allah. Family accepted Islam.
Allah.
So look how beautiful. I mean, just one thinking here of the child, that I should take care of the child. There was no exchange, there was no return. No, she's not Muslim, why should I take care of her? Or she doesn't ask me about anything, why should I worry about the child? No. The teaching in his mind was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's teaching that take care of your neighbors. And he took care of the son of the, or the child, and in return, all three of them accepted Islam.
Allah, hmm? Allah.
So this is what the hikmat and the wisdoms of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam words here. That apparently we think that, you know, it's something ordinary, it's something common, we don't need to focus on it. But in actual fact, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says something, there are 1,000 wisdoms behind it which we cannot see.
Without doubt, without doubt.
So we should close our eyes on every word of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we should obey every command of his, you know. Sab kun ki kunji kahe, uski nafiz hukumat tilak ho salam.
Allah.
So that tongue of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so beautiful and so unique that whenever anything comes out from there, you must know there is betterment for you in it. So amongst the 1,000 things which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us, respect of parents, respect of brothers, siblings, and family members and everything, one very important thing is respect of neighbors. And unfortunately, in today's age and time, people are very negligent on this sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I mean, we can maybe treat our parents in the best way, we'll treat our siblings in the best way, we'll treat our relatives, everyone in the best way. But neighbors, the one next to us, you know, he's suffering. He's not in a good state. And we won't even ask him. My Nabi Sallam gave us the teaching that when you're cooking food at home, then cook in such a manner that the smell of the food should not go to the house of the neighbor.
Allah,
why?
Allah,
because what if he has some children and his children then get the smell of their food? And children are naive. You know, they would like to ask. They like new things. So what if the child asks his father, oh my father, you know, our neighbor cooked so-and-so thing today. Why aren't we cooking that? Or why can't we cook that? And what if the father cannot afford it? At that time, how much pain the father will feel at that moment. So my Nabi Sallam said, when you cook, make sure the smell doesn't go in the house of your neighbor. Or what you can do is add some water to the gravy and make some more food. And you eat and send to your neighbor as well, so both of you can enjoy. Allahu Akbar.
I was just saying, Abdullah Bhai, that, you know, you mentioned the event of Sayyidina Bazid Bistami Ramatullah Ta'ala with the going to the lamp. And I remember there was an incident where, reading it recently, where someone asked their child to go next door and ask for a small amount of sugar. And the child went and came back and got the sugar. And one of the other children said that, mother, why are you asking for the sugar? We have got plenty of sugar in the house. Yeah. Then, you know, why did you do this? And she said that, my son, you know, I know that the sugar has come into the house, but I also know that there's times of the month that they are short and they come ask for flour, they come ask for oil. And I want them to feel that I need them in the same way that they need me. So I want them to feel needed rather than putting them down, that they're always coming to me. And that little act, these little things. But, you know, I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you heard it, Abdullah Bhai, that, you know, we had an incident here, and you probably got incidents in South Africa where people have passed away. They've been in the houses for 2 or 3 months, maybe even longer. And the neighbors are not aware of it. You know, and my question is how is that happening? You know, what is going wrong in today's society that we're having these incidents where people are passing away, they're sitting in the sofa, watching TV, they've passed away, and the body is found 3 or 4 months later when the smell is emanating from the house. How is this happening, Abdullah Bhai? And how can we resolve this?
This is indeed a big problem. And the main reason of it is we are far away from the teachings of Islam. If we knew the teachings of Islam, if we knew the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we were practicing Muslims, then we wouldn't have had these issues in our life. But unfortunately, we don't pay heed, we don't listen to what Islam has to offer us, and that's why these problems occur. Hajisab, if I have to give you an example, yesterday in a certain area in South Africa, a woman was found in her house where she wasn't, where she passed away. And she used to stay alone. All right, so neither her neighbors knew and nobody knew that she passed away. And people were trying to call her. And so it so happened that one of her relatives were trying to call her and she wasn't answering the call. So he got worried. And then when he came to the house and, you know, he tried knocking on the door and then he found out that she already passed away. So this is something which happened recently, just yesterday, I'm telling you. Right? And these kind of things happen daily around the globe. And the only way where we can resolve this problem is if we start, you know, listening and if we start taking some knowledge of Islam and start taking the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and trying to act upon them. By Allah, if we can put Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in front of us as a role model and say we need to follow this personality, whatever he did, we will do. Whatever he stopped from, we are going to stop from that. Inshallah, and by Allah, you will see that not only your house, not only the environment, the entire world will become peaceful. Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's every manner, every etiquette, every action was full of wisdom and with a lots of, you know, love and compassion, subhanAllah. So I would say the only way to resolve this problem is to learn ilm al-deen, to know about your deen and know what your deen says with regards to your neighbor, your parents, your relatives, and different things. And different people around you.
You know, if we adopt the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we read about our pious predecessors, how they adopted the teachings, how they lived their lives according to the teachings. You know, you mentioned Sayyidina Bistami, I mentioned Imam Abu Hanifa. These great personalities, they are our role models of how to adopt, how to follow the sunnah, how to follow the teachings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I think it's generally as Muslims, and I think you've hit the nail on the head. The problem is we don't have that knowledge. We've taken incorrect role models. We've come, you know, I'm only worried about me, myself, and I. I don't care about anybody else. There's a saying in English, I don't know if you understand it, that I'm all right, Jack, as long as I'm all right, I don't care about anybody else. And that has become something that we live our lives by now. It's my life, my rules, I'm okay. As long as I'm okay, I don't care about anybody else. Let alone forget, you're talking about my neighbors, Abdullah, but I don't even care about my parents. I don't even care about my wife, my children. I don't care about anybody. It's my life, let me do what I want. And unfortunately, that's where we have come to now, that we do not care about anybody. We just only, the only person that we care about is the person that we look at in the mirror in the morning. That's the only person that we care about. And that is a sad reality. And to change that, you know, we need to wake up and realize that you may care about yourself today, you may be independent today, you may be strong today, you may be able to live your life today, but a time will come. Well, you could be that person sitting in that sofa and dying, like you mentioned that woman in South Africa yesterday. You could be that person that in Bradford that passed away 6 months ago and they only found the body 6 months later. That could happen to you. Is that what you want to happen? And I think we need to realize this, that how we treat others is how people will treat us. Jazakallah Abdul Bhai for your time, inshallah. May Allah Azawajal reward you. And every time I speak to someone in South Africa, I renew my intention. But so far, I've not fulfilled my intention. I keep on making intention that inshallah that day will come where I come on a Madri Kafla to South Africa. There's some beautiful brothers in South Africa. Whenever you meet any of the Zimadars in South Africa, please present my salam to them and pray for me that that day comes that I can come and visit you. And also, mashallah, I'm also speaking to a Madani. I pray that that day comes where I can become a Madani as well. Jazakallah, Abdullah Bhai.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mashallah, viewers of my channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And we just had Abdullah Madani on the from South Africa. And you may be thinking, what is a Madani? I want to become a Madani. Who is a Madani? A Madani is the terminology that is used within the Islamic of those people that graduate from Jawamatul Abdina, they become scholars. You know, when we talk about the problems on Madani Channel, like we talk on the problems on Rise and Shine, you know, we need these knowledgeable people in our society, you know, and I remember Nigrani Shura saying, and he said that if every household has a scholar in it, you will see a change in that household. And so we all need a scholar in our household. You know, we find it hard to go to the masjid and ask Imam Sahib. We find it hard to phone up people. But if we've got someone, the scholar in the house, there and then you can ask the question. You know, Beta, please explain. Beti, please explain. I don't understand. And they, inshallah, will explain. If they can't, they'll find out the knowledge. So I think at this time, I encourage all of our viewers to please try and get the children, the relatives, the friends, the colleagues, or even themselves admitted into Jamaatul Madina. Find out where your local setting is. Contact any Zimadar. Views of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. We've got a little break now. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Let's talk about a very unique story that has been mentioned in the Quran. You maybe know this story. This story is about a cow, the most expensive cow in the world. What is the story? Let's listen. The story is that there was a very pious person in Bani Israel who had a young son. He had a single calf only in his property. Just before his death, that pious person took the calf to the jungle and left it by a bush, saying, "O Allah Azza wa Jal, I leave this calf under your protection until my son reaches puberty." After this, the pious person died and the calf grew to a cow. With the passage of time, and his son grew up to be a righteous man who was very obedient to his mother. He had divided his night into three parts. He used to sleep in one part, worship in the second part, and serve his mother in the third part. Also, he used to travel to the jungle every day in the morning to fetch wood, which he used to sell. He used to do sadaqah, charity, of one third of his earnings, spend one third on his personal needs, and give one third to his mother. One day, the mother said to her son, "Oh, my beloved son, your father left a calf for your inheritance that he had left near such and such a bush under the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now go to that bush and supplicate in this way, O Rabb of Sayyiduna Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq alayhimus salatu wassalam, return me the thing my father gave under your protection." She further said that the calf was yellow colored and its skin would be glistening in such a way as though the rays of the sun are emitting from it. Hearing this, the boy went to the jungle and supplicated by that bush. All of a sudden, the cow came to him running and stood by him. He brought it home. His mother said, "My son, go to the market and sell the cow for 3 dinars, but do not sell it to any buyer without consulting me." In those days, the usual cost of a cow was about 3 dinars. A buyer came in the market who in reality was an angel. In fact, the angel said, "I will pay you more than 3 dinars on a condition that you sell me the cow without consulting your mother." The boy replied, "No matter how much you offer me, I will not sell the cow without consulting my mother." Reaching home, the boy related the whole event to his mother. She said, "Perhaps the buyer was an angel. Therefore, O my son, consult him whether we should sell the cow or not." Thus, when the boy consulted with the buyer in the market, he advised not to sell the cow. He said that in future, the people of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will come to buy the cow. He further advised to demand the price equivalent to the amount of gold that can be filled in the hide of the cow. They will pay the price he wishes. Therefore, after a few days, a very rich person from Bani Israel named Amir was killed by his two paternal cousins, and they threw his body in a desolate place. The next morning, the search for the murderers began. After getting no trace, people went to Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and asked about the murderer. He alayhi salatu wasalam ordered them to slaughter a cow and strike the dead body with its tongue or the bone of the tail, and the murdered Amil will resurrect and tell you the name of his killer. Hearing this, Bani Israel raised questions and arguments about the age, the color of the cow. When they finally understood the type of the cow that was required, they began the search for it. When they reached the cow of that boy, they realized that this was exactly the same cow that they are looking for. Therefore, they paid its price equivalent to gold filled in its hide and slaughtered the cow. Then they hit the corpse with the tongue or bone of the tail, and the dead person, Amil, came back to life. He said that his killers were the two sons of his uncle who killed him due to greed of his wealth. After telling this, he died again. Therefore, both of the killers were killed in return, and the child of the pious person who was very obedient to his mother became very rich. by getting lots of wealth. Subhanallah, what a beautiful story. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. Many times, you know, you thought to yourself, you know, what does Baqarah mean? And why did Allah Azza wa Jalla reveal this story of the cow inside the glorious Quran? Now you know why. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. Those who are listening, make sure that you are obedient to your parents. Make sure that you are obedient to your Rabb Azza wa Jalla. And make sure you give plenty in charity. Because if we are pious ourselves, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in return, our children will be pious as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. Today we've been talking about the rights of our neighbors, and we had Abdullah Madani all the way from South Africa giving us some beautiful Madani pearls on this topic. And he mentioned an event that took place with Sayyidina Bistami Ramadullah Dalla would light the lamp of his neighbor so that the child would not cry. And just by that one act of lighting the lamp, of filling a lamp and putting oil in there and taking it there so that the child would not cry whilst the father was away, that one act resulted in the whole of that family accepting Islam. And, you know, again, you know, just ponder over the fact that that family accepted Islam. To this day, from then till now, how many people, as a result of that one act, through them, because obviously the children accepted Islam, the children were born into Islam, and so on and so on and so on. So one act can affect generations. One act can change a whole generation of people. I'm going to give you some hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I know time is against us, but I want to mention a couple of hadiths, and I want to mention some sayings of Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah with regards to neighbors. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, do you know what the right of a neighbor is? He then himself said, when he asks you for help, help him. And when he asks you for a loan, give him a loan. And when he is needy, give him. And when he is ill, visit him and inquire about his health. And when he receives goodness, congratulate him. And when he's in trouble, condole him. And when he dies, attend his funeral, and do not make your building higher without his permission that may disrupt air ventilation to his house. And do not hurt him with your food, but give him something from it. And if you buy dry fruit, also present some of it. And if you do not want to present him, then bring it to your home secretly, and your children should not go out with it because it may grieve the children of your neighbor. Do you know what the right of the neighbor is? By the one in whose power my life is, there are few who completely fulfill the rights of the neighbors. They are those who have the blessings of Allah. You know that one hadith there, Allah, we could repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and we would understand the rights of our neighbors, that when they're in trouble, console them. When they need a loan, give it to them. Visit them. When they're ill, sick, see them. When you get something, when you make food, make sure the smell doesn't go to them, or give them some of it. Whenever you get some dry fruits, obviously don't give any smell, then send something to them. If you don't want to send something to them, then bring it home in secret so that people don't see it. The neighbors don't see it. The children don't see it. And you know, you're giving it to your own children. You don't want to give it to your neighbors. Tell your children, don't go out with it and show it in front of the street. All of these are, behind each of these phrases are some beautiful guidelines for us, if only we understand. The beloved Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, constantly advised on neighbors to the extent that people thought he would make their neighbor their heirs. That he emphasized so much the rights of the neighbors that, you know, people, the Muslims think that maybe, you know, neighbors will become inheritors of our wealth when we pass away. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three types of neighbors. Some have three rights, some have two rights, and some have one. The neighbor who is a Muslim and your relative has three rights. The right of the neighbor, the right of Islam, and the right of a relative. A Muslim neighbor has two rights, the right of a neighbor and the right of Islam. And the neighbor, even who is an unbeliever, has only one right, and that is the right of a neighbor. He has the right of a neighbor. He's your neighbor. That is his, he has that right, and you need to fulfill that right. Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah ta'ala stated, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but I'm trying to cover this. He said that one should lead in giving salam to the neighbors. We should not have long conversations with them. We should not ask too many questions about his circumstances. So why has that happened? Why has that happened? Are you okay? Why is this happening? You know, don't inquire too much. Let them tell you what they want to tell you. We should inquire after their health when they are ill. We should console them when they are in a difficulty. We should help them in their difficult times. We should congratulate them in their joyous moments. We should participate in the joyful occasions. We should forgive their mistakes. We should not peep into the homes from the top of our roofs. You know, the flat roofs, some people used to look into them. We shouldn't be doing this. We should not trouble them by putting a roof beam on their wall or by draining water into their roof drain or by putting dust into their courtyard. We should not narrow the pathway to their home. We should not fix his gaze on whatever they carry to their home. If he becomes aware of their faults, he should hide them. We should immediately help them if they met with an accident. We should not show negligence in safeguarding the house of our neighbors in their absence. When our neighbors go away, we should look after the house. We'll look out for the house, make sure that the house is there. You know, if the house is broken into, it's not my house. No, this is not how we should be. We should not listen to anything against our neighbors. We should lower our gaze before the women. We should speak softly to their children. And if they need guidance in the worldly or religious matters, he should guide them accordingly. These are the rights of our neighbors. And we see that, you know, we need to have that inside us. Well, these are just certain things that I mentioned in the views of my channel. And if we asked ourselves, how many of them do we fulfill? Do we even know our neighbors? I mean, we're talking all today about neighbors. Do we know who our neighbors are? Do we know the condition? Do we know who's living there? Maybe, you know, we're living in certain settings where it's hard. You know, you're living in a flat and there's all flats around you or whatever. But even then, you know, we should inquire about our neighbors. We should, you know, when we see them, we get the opportunity. A lot of people nowadays, the culture is such that people are scared of opening the doors to people. So it's not always easy to go knock on the door and say, I'm your neighbor. How are you? Are you okay? It's not easy to do. I understand that. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, whenever you get an opportunity, you see them in the street. How are you, mashallah? You know, everything okay? If you ever need anything, let me know. Even if it's a non-believer, if there's anything you need, anything, I'm next door. You know, I'm not always at home, but you know, if you ever need anything, let me know, and inshallah, I'll try and help you. And just them words. Just them words. How much do them words cost? That if you were to say to your neighbor, you know, how are you? I hope you're okay. If there's anything you need, let me know. If I've ever caused any problems to you, then please forgive me. And hopefully in the future it won't happen. Or just something to that effect. What does that cost? But we see the effect of that. We see that effect, like I said earlier, you are ambassadors of Islam. You are representing Islam. Every act, every word that you speak can be taken rightly or wrongly, can be taken positively or negatively. Your life, you are ambassadors of Islam. Please remember that. In the same way that you're ambassadors of Islam, you are ambassadors of Islam for your neighbors, for the people that you mix with, for the people that you intermingle with. And like Abdullah Madani says, we need to know how to live our lives. And the way to do that is to take the right role models. And the right role models are our pious predecessors. The right role models are the companions of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The ideal role model is none other than the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can learn from our true role models. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we can follow the footsteps of our true role models and make a change in our life, make a change in the people around us. Like Abdullah Madani said that if you want to change the world, you need to change yourself. We change ourselves and inshallah the world will change. You've been watching Arise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Madani channel. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will be